Baseball strikes gold with its pitching staff. Track and field receives multiple athletes of the week. Tennis continues its GPAC dominance. And our lifting sports had a strong showing at Nationals. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 24 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. I mean, four things to talk about now? Usually you talk about, you have three things to talk about
in the top story. Yeah, usually the intro is only three different things, but this week, it's been a good one.
Really?
Yeah. It hasn't been the busiest week ever, but it's been a very successful one.
I agree on that one. I mean, a lot of things have happened, so let's dive right in, shall we?
Yeah. So let's start with baseball. That's where we started off the intro. And we have a national first place statistic going on right now.
Really?
So, like I mentioned, the pitching staff has struck gold, struck pun intended. So please laugh. But right now, our pitching staff leads the nation in strikeouts.
Really?
That's total strikeouts with 419. That's over 10 above the next one. And we also heavily lead the strikeouts per nine innings. So that takes into account, you know, sometimes in the long four-game series, the games only go to seven innings. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's tied, so you go to 10, 11, 12. So this one takes into account how many innings you've played, and you divide the number of strikeouts by that number. And then you get 11.86 Ks per nine.
Wow.
And the next one is at 11.07. So we're averaging almost 0.8 strikeouts per nine innings more than the second best team. Going to number three, we're over one above.
Okay.
And a lot of that success, you know, the whole pitching staff has been doing a great job this season, but a lot of that success is due to graduate student Alex Johnson. He has been on an absolute tear this season.
I agree.
He just surpassed the Concordia record for career strikeouts. He now leads that number, and he's had two extremely dominant performances in the last week. There was one game where he had 15 strikeouts in the one game. Then he went back and did 14, like really close to that. So he's just been on an absolute tear. It's been really cool to see him just dominate in this year. I know he struggled with some injuries in the past, but he is right back to his very best. Yeah, it was Northwestern on April 11th. It was a 4-1 win. Alex's stats were 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, given up, 1 run, 1 earned run, 0 walks, 15 strikeouts.
0 walks and 15 strikeouts.
15 strikeouts, yeah.
My goodness.
Just an insane stat line from him. And then the offensive production was there to get the job done on the other half of the inning. And this one we had Andrew Fetty, Carson Burnett getting doubles. We had RBIs from Jake Watson, Carson Burnett, Alex Draper, and Jack Herchert. And then looking at the next game in that series, because the Northwestern one was a doubleheader, we ended up winning that one 2-4. Different set of pitchers in this one. Caden Bugarski, 5.2 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Dayton Schmidt came in for 1.1, didn't give up any runs, walked 1 batter, and struck out 2. And then Warren Rose came in for the save, 2 innings pitched, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts.
Okay, that's good. That's decent. That's very decent.
Yeah,
indeed.
So really strong performance from them. Jumping back a little bit to April 10th, so before that Northwestern matchup, we beat Midland 7-0 and 11-5. So that 7-0 win was Micah Sweetin pitching all 7 innings, gave up just 5 hits throughout the game, 1 walk, struck out 7.
Okay.
And of course, with that 7-0 win, that means our offense was having a pretty good day. We had a home run from Jake Watson, doubles from Luke Wilson and Carson Burnett. RBIs, of course, one from Jake with that solo home run. Luke Wilson got one. Carson Burnett got 2. Alex Draper and Cade Vanis each got an RBI as well. Looking at the second game in that series, we had the 11-5 win over Midland. So not the very best game that our pitchers have had, but still the offense was able to make up for it. The pitchers on the day were Brody Schmier, Flynn McGannon, and Alex Grease and Devin Gonner. Highlights from that, still, despite it not being our best pitching performance ever, still got 11 strikeouts, struggled a little bit with 7 walks and giving up 10 hits, but still the fielding was able to help out a little bit, and our hitting got it done on the other end. And then looking at the series as a whole against or sorry, the series against Dakota Wesleyan, where we did actually suffer a loss. We won the first game 10-1. We had a good performance from Alex Johnson once again. Okay. Just 6 innings pitched, gave up 6 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 14 strikeouts.
Okay.
And then DJ Anderson comes in, has a pretty perfect 1 inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, 2 strikeouts.
Wow.
Can't really ask for much more from your closer.
You really can't.
He did it and got the job done. And then offensively, you know, another great day from Jake Watson with 4 RBIs, an RBI from Carson Burnett, Jane Jordahl, 3 from Bronx Lewis, a couple of those being from his double. Jake Watson and Jake Tyler also had doubles. So really good day on the offensive side. And then unfortunately, the one loss of the week was suffered at the hands of Dakota Wesleyan. It snaps a 6-game GPAC win streak.
Ooh.
In which we brought our GPAC record all the way up to 17-5. So looking really solid in the standings right now. And the loss was a very close one. It was 6-5 in favor of Dakota Wesleyan.
Ooh.
And we gave up 5 runs in the 6th inning.
That's not what you want.
So we were up 3-0 going into the bottom of the 6th. They scored 5. We were only able to respond with 2. So they didn't have to play the bottom of the 7th. But pitching-wise, it was Micah Sweeten and Trent Schlimm on the mound. Micah pitched for 5.1 of the innings, gave up 3 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Trenton Schlimm was in for 0.2 innings, 1 hit, 2 runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Batting, not a bad day by any means, getting those 5 runs. We left 6 guys on base, but we had Andrew Fetty and Luke Wilson with doubles. Jake Watson got a home run, which contributed to his 2 RBIs, and then Luke Wilson and Alex Draper also had RBIs.
Okay, I like that.
So, overall, a very solid week. Like, you can't, in baseball, you can't ask for that much more than a 5-6 week, especially in the GPAC. Right now, that has us sitting in 3rd place with a very comfortable margin until 4th and very close to 2nd.
What place were we in last time before this happened?
I believe we were 3rd in that one as well, but we've kind of cemented our at least 3rd place status.
Okay, okay.
Right now, it's us and Doan really close by each other.
Ooh, when's the next time we play them?
We have actually already played them. We are not going to play them again until possibly the GPAC tournament.
Fair enough.
When we played them earlier in the season, it was a straight 2-2 split. And they are currently sitting at 16-4. We're at 17-5. They do have 2 games left to play, though, that we have not played. Or that we have played. Yeah. They have 2 less games total.
Okay.
And they have matchups against Hastings, a 4-game series, a 2-game series at Dort, and then a 2-game series at Morningside. Morningside currently leads the conference with Northwestern and Hastings, or with Hastings being just about the top half and then Dort being towards the bottom. Mm. So you'd expect maybe 1 or 2 losses for Doan in that series. And then coming up next for Concordia, we have matchups against Dakota Wesleyan again on Sunday, and then Morningside and Hastings. So us and Doan both have to play Morningside, both have to play Hastings, and then we have a little redemption to get against Dakota Wesleyan, who are currently not doing like crazy bad, but they're 4th to last in the conference, 8-14 record, tied with Mount Marty. So definitely looking to get another 2 wins over them. But right now, in a very solid spot as we get really close to that GPAC tournament.
I like the standings that Concordia is on right now. I mean, they have done an amazing job, obviously, winning those 6 games right there. And that one loss, I mean, it was a close game. Probably they could have gotten tired as much because, I mean, mm-hmm. that momentum going off of these wins is going to probably affect as much with it until, like, that final play as much. But, I mean, I'm not saying the sound of the alarms saying, like, oh, snap, like, something's going on. It's like, that's probably one of those games. You're going to have those one games that you wish to have back and win. So I'm very confident in this baseball team for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've shown some really good signs for being successful in the tournament. The GPAC tournament is a lot of games in a short amount of time. And in that, you need good pitchers. You need depth in your pitching staff. You can't just have one guy doing it all because his arm is going to go.
Yes.
So we've shown we've got Alex Johnson, Caden Bujarski. We've got, you know, Micah Sweet and Dayton Schmidt. We've got a lot of other guys who can step in, and we've seen them perform multiple times this season. So lots of options for the coaching staff, the pitching staff, and looking forward to seeing what they can do as they take on the number one in the conference, Morningside, and as we head into the GPAC tournament.
All righty.
Yeah, unfortunately, on the other side of the bases, we have softball, and they've been having a bit of a rough week.
Really?
You mentioned the baseball team, they were 5-6 this week. The softball team has had four games this week. They went 1-3 in that amount of time.
Ooh.
A win against Northwestern on April 11th, then a loss in the same day to Northwestern.
Yeah.
Then two losses against Midland on April 14th. One of those was a short game. One of those was a long game. So Midland first game on April 14th, it was a 3-4 loss in 11 innings.
Okay.
So Midland was up 3-0 heading into the sixth inning. We pulled one back in the sixth, shut him out in the sixth as well. Then we put two up to tie it up in the seventh inning, kept them silent on the mound, or sorry, from the mound, we kept them silent, batting-wise. And then no score all the way up to the 11th inning when Midland got a walk-off in the bottom of the 11th to win the game.
Oh, man.
Midland's currently 11-2 in the GPAC. We are 6-7. So definitely good to be able to compete against a team like Midland, who is up at the top of the conference standings. On the offensive side, we had 8 hits throughout the day. Midland also had 8, so very similar in that regard. We left 8 on base. They left 8 on base. Our runs came from Taryn Ganstrom, Grace Zaug, and Lacey Joseph. RBIs from Aubriana Kreiser, and then 2 from Grace McGuire. Pitching-wise, even though we lost the game, still a very solid pitching performance from Kaylee Dennison. She's now 9-9 on the year. She gave up all 8 hits, the 4 runs, walked 5, struck out 5 as well. So, you know, you would prefer not to walk that many, but a good strikeout count from her. And overall solid performance. Giving up 4 runs in 11 innings is nothing to be ashamed of for sure. And then the next game was an 8-0 loss against Midland where things kind of went off the rails in the sixth inning. So
yeesh.
It was 1-0 in the third inning. No score in the fourth inning, no score in the fifth inning. And then the Warriors went on a rally to get 7 runs in the sixth inning, and that ended the game early.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it was just a bit of a rough day for Kirsten Lynn on the mound. Pitched 5.1 innings, had a really solid 4 innings, and then the cart went off the tracks. 6 hits, 5 runs given up, 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. Lily L. Sasser came in for the end of it and gave up 2 hits, 3 runs with 1 walk and no strikeouts.
Okay.
So just a bit of a rough day towards the end of that game. Not much going on offensively either. Mackenzie Roninja, 6 innings pitched, gave up just 3 hits and 1 walk, 8 strikeouts against our ladies. So she had a really good game. She's 16-3 on the season. So
now I got a question. How many runners did we leave on base?
6 in this one.
Ooh, man.
Midland also left 6. Usually, I feel like if you're under 10, it's not horrible. If you can keep it under 5, that's great.
That's true, but I guess the fact that Midland did their rally there too, even though they left 6 on base, kind of like neutralizes it much with it. But for us, I mean, I'm not trying to say it as just like, yeah, it finishes as much with it. I mean, that's just one of the games that we have throughout the season to have like one of those difficult ones to obviously finish or basically try to get a rhythm going.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And then we also had those 2 losses against Northwestern earlier on in the week that dropped us down to that 6-7 in the GPAC. Currently in the standings, we are just about in the middle. We are 6th place with, I guess, now a 6-8 record after that Midland series.
Okay.
Sitting tied with Doan at 6-8, and then Briarcliff is at 8th with a 6-10 record, And then we are a fair bit off Northwestern, who are 9-7. We do have two games to play extra on them. Northwestern's played 16. We've played just 14. Dakota Wesleyan leads the conference 15-1. Midland, like I mentioned, up at the top, you know, near the top with a 12-2 record sitting in second place.
Right.
But with the opportunity to surpass Dakota Wesleyan get really close to them with their extra two games, because Dakota Wesleyan's also played 16. Midland's played 14, so they can bring themselves up to 14-2 if they win their next two games. So as we look at the GPAC tournament, you know, for sure we'll make the tournament.
Yep.
At a sixth place record, just about second place. Right now, Waldorf and College of St. Mary are struggling quite a bit. Waldorf's 1-13, St. Mary 3-11. Hastings 4-10, Mount Marty 5-11, and then Briarcliff 6-10. So all those teams not having the best of seasons so far, but Concordia looking to write a bit of a rough week for sure as they head into the next two games, and those are actually happening today. One started a minute ago. We're recording. It's 1 o'clock on Friday, and the game started 1 minute ago against Waldorf. So definitely need to get two wins in this game against the bottom team in the conference. Then two games against Dort, who, like I mentioned, they are fourth place in the conference. And then you got some games against Doan, and that's a really big series.
It is.
Because Doan is the one we're tied with. If you can get two wins over them, cement that sixth place, maybe even jump up to fifth, and then have a good seeding for the tournament. And then the final action of the regular season is going to be Senior Day against College of St. Mary at Plum Creek Ballpark, and that'll be against, you know, the second to last team in the conference. So hoping to get two wins out of those. I think if you can go out of these next eight games, St. Mary, Doan, Dort, Waldorf, got yep. eight of them. Need those two wins against Waldorf. Need those two wins against St. Mary, and then I'd say go three out of four against Dort / Doan. If you can get wins in one of those series and then pick up one in the next one, go 7-8 this week, going to be in a really good spot as you head into the tournament.
It's going to be a tough task, but I think they can do it for sure if they have the, you know, game plan from their coach and obviously the spirit from the team as well, if they want to get this done to represent and build their seeding up in the GPAC tournament.
Absolutely. And speaking of GPAC teams that have been doing very well, getting some GPAC awards this week. Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about track and field and those GPAC athletes of the week?
Yes. Now, we have the athletes of the week, and some of y'all think it's, like, it's going to be the new people that we're going to say. I'm sorry to say we have the same names probably from episodes from indoor season.
A lot of familiar faces.
Familiar faces. For the men's side, for the athlete of the week, from Concordia, Johnny the Jet Jerkin for race walk.
There we go.
And then for the women's side, the hop, skip, and the jump triple jumper, Addison McCarter.
All righty, and she broke her own school record, didn't she?
I think
she did. In the triple jump.
She has done it. Now, Concordia did have two meets. Obviously, we had two meets since the last episode. Last week, they were at Hastings. This week, they're at Doan, but the thing, there was a multi-meet that happened yesterday and 2 days ago, like yesterday and one more day, mm-hmm. because the meet got moved as much. There were some running events on Thursday, too. But everyone else will compete on Sunday for the Doan meet.
Okay.
Now, before I get started, we're going to do the Hastings meet because that's the one that happened lately.
Yep.
So before we go, we're going to talk about the national qualifiers achieved at Hastings. Remember, A standard means you automatically go. B standard means you made it, but you have to be in the top 20 to go to the nationals. It's like a wait list on the plane. A standard, you automatically got the ticket. B standard, you're on wait list. You're on standby.
Gotcha. And then each coach gets to anyways bring three additional B standards to nationals.
Indefinitely. I mean, we talked about this last episode, but last like couple of times we were listening to indoor season. But why not to have refreshed the memory,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
So starting off with race walker, Johnny Jerkin gets A standard running a 21:44.43. Mm-hmm. I'm certain that throughout his career he might break 20. 21. He might break 21. He might go sub 21. He might go sub 21.
Wouldn't shock me.
Next up on the A standard, Adriana Rodento, 100 meter hurdles, 13.52.
All righty.
Then we go to the B standard, a new name that we finally got. Emery Goots for javelin, throwing 195 feet and 1 inch, hitting the B standard.
Dang. And he was a GPAC champion his freshman year, I believe, in that javelin. So he was. You know, he struggled with some injuries last season, especially in the indoor, working on that shoulder. Yep. But I think he's back to being healthy and definitely seeing that with that 195, you said?
195 feet and 1 inch. That is far. That is far, ladies and gentlemen.
Watch out on the backside of the track.
Bingo around that one. Continuing on, we have two race walkers. So we had a total of three race walkers, one hitting A, Johnny Jerkin, two hitting B, Luke Hamming and Jack Heiberger. Luke Hamming ran a 25:15.64, and Jack Heiberger went a 23:39.88. So those guys are obviously probably going to make nationals for sure, even though they're on hit the B standard, probably coasting in A. Now, Addison McCarter, she triple jumped 38 feet 9.34 inches in triple jump. So that was the B standard. No, she already hit A standard. She's still going, but she's still hitting B standards as much. You can get like a little bit of memory going into it.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the champions at the Hastings Invites. The champions that won the overall meet. Starting off with Harper Botch winning the shot put and the hammer throw.
Oh, little double action.
Double action. For the shot put, she threw 43 feet, 1/4 inch. And the hammer, she threw 159 feet and 5 inches. Going on to Braxton Bohrer with the 110-meter hurdles, running a 15:12. Lucas Corwin with the 400-meter dash of 50.51. Almost close to a 50-50. So he was going to be 50-50 after it. Johnny Jerkin with the race walk, 21:44.43. Addison McCarter with the 38 feet, 9 3/4 inch. Josie Noble winning the 400-meter hurdles with a 1:05.9. Then we have Brian Ostick with the shot put of 48 feet, 5 1/2 inch. Addie Romer with a long jump, 16 feet, 8 1/2 inches. Trey Robertson with a 1,500-meter run with 4:10.66. And Adrian Robdetzel, well, actually 100-meter hurdles, 13.52. And Cooper Stokebrand with the discus throw of 156 feet, 5 inches. This was all at the Hastings meet. So we had good winners about that when they went to Hastings, though. Mm-hmm. Would you say, Kai?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have some current results coming up from the Doan Invite.
Yes, we do. Because
we have some stuff that has finished up in this one. So we had our relay teams do pretty well in the 4x8, especially. They've done some of the field events, some of the like multis, and then they've done some of the distance stuff as well. But our men's 4x8 took second place with a really solid 7:46.29 time. I wouldn't be shocked if that's close to the school record, because everyone was well below 2 minutes in each of their 800s. The athletes in that one were, it was Cooper Shellkopf, it was Trenton Coombe, Lucas Corwin, and Justin Sherman. The splits on this one, 158, 155, 158. And then I believe it was Trenton Coombe, he ran a 154.56 closing 800.
See, that's good.
Now that's speed.
That's speed. That is speed indeed.
Yeah, and then we also had 4x8 teams come in 5th and 6th. On the women's side, the women won the 4x8.
Hey, that's some good stuff.
Ashley Robertson, Landry Luz, Izzy Brownbaugh, and Claire Beichman all competed on that team. There was a 225, 220, 225, and 227 in that one. It has the people listed like 1, 2, 3, and 4. I know at least for the men that one wasn't correct. So don't know if this one's right either. But those are the four people, the four times. Match them up how you think it is.
Just going by the person or their personalities, which I want to see how y'all think about that one, because that'd be good if you think who is who.
For sure. And then if we look at the men's 5K, we had a pretty solid result in there. Vaughn Hendrickson getting second place with a 15:28.86. Aiden Limbach came in third, 15:39.23. And then we mentioned Ransom Watts last week running that solo 5K on the track. At the home meet, he ran like 16:04 last week. He ran 15:47.4 this one to get fourth place. We also took fifth and sixth place in that event. And yeah, that's our top runners from this one. And we had I think we had some good multis, didn't we?
We did. We actually had some really good multis on this one, if I were to take over, please.
Yep, go for it.
So starting off with the men's decathlon, we had Hank Moore, who really shook things up, man. He got second place with 6,373 points. Now, for those who don't know, multi-events in regular events are basically different. For multis, you only get points. Like, you get points instead of, like, obviously, awards with it. So, obviously, with the placements, you get points after certain events. And basically, the total number of points to determine who wins. It's not about the event. It's the overall event. Because they're doing so many events as well. And they go to nationals by having the most points. Like, you have to hit a certain number of points to go to nationals.
Okay.
So, it's very different. That's why there's different days for multis and regular athletes for it. Hank points, he was ranked top 10 nationally based on the NAIA performance listing entering today, but he got second place with that many points, like 6,373 points. I mean, look at me, that's a lot of points to get in certain events right there, yeah. Dude.
And if you look at the guy in front of him, Raffer Severson from Hastings, so Hank had 6,373 points. The Hastings guy, 6,399. So out of 6,000 something points, he was only behind the first place guy by 26. Pretty much as close as you can get in that decathlon.
Yep. And then in the heptathlon, which is the women's multi-event, we had some good things that happened, though. I mean, Addie Reimer placing third with 4,186 points. She actually shattered her PR in the shot put.
Oh, awesome.
33 feet, 7.5 inches. Then Kennedy Canales placing fourth, 4,092 points. That's her personal best as a sophomore. I mean, as her whole career as a multi, this is her best points that she has so far in her career. Nice. So I also give her a respect, congratulations, obviously, of improving. And same thing for Addie Reimer, breaking her PR and doing well in the, you know, in the multis event. Now everyone else will be going to compete this Sunday for it. But a lot of things happen in the throwing events too, Kai. We actually got to do that one. Starting off with Emery Gutz, he got first place in javelin.
There you go.
Throwing 187 feet, 1 inch. Harper got third. Harper played, got fourth. And so Emma Kircher got fourth as well, too. Carissa Cole got fifth place in the women's discus. And Cooper Stockenberg got sixth in the men's discus. Then we had the pole vault. The pole vaulters went to a Red Raider Open to pole vault. So they went to, they were at a completely different meet. So we had Kayla Zavodia had third place in the pole vault. Cassie Pedrowski placed fourth. Lee Richard placed fifth. And then James did his event, but I don't know, he was in action, but I don't know what happened to him as much because there was not a lot of information that happened to him though, but hopefully he's okay. But that's what happened right there for pole vault. Again, everyone will be competing this Sunday at Doan because the weather has been acting weird lately for this. So a lot of chances for people to make nationals and a lot of PRs and a lot of winners might be coming soon, Kai.
Awesome.
And especially at Doan Stadium, I should know, man, because, I mean, I ended my career beating Doan at their stadium in triple jump. Nothing's better.
Subtle flex.
Nothing better to beat a team at their stadium, even though it's at their meet. Nothing is better to win at your rival's meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just had to let that out real quick, man.
Oh,
but
yeah, for sure.
It's time to move on to another one because I can go ranting on about it. So what's next, Kai?
Yep, so we got some powerlifting and weightlifting nationals action. We talked about some of the champions and some of the All-Americans last week because it was happening live.
Yes.
But we have the full results of the powerlifting and weightlifting nationals. Start out with powerlifting. We had the men place 6th overall and the women place 5th. The men were actually tied for 5th with another team, but then they had to go to a tiebreaker, and the other team had a first place finisher, so the tiebreaker went to them. Unfortunately, that means the men did not get a red banner.
Darn.
Because 5th place is where you get that, but the women did get a red banner, so congratulations to them. Just looking at some of the top performers, we had Dax Davis place 4th in the 56 kilogram division. He had a 187.5 kg squat, 110 bench, and a 180 deadlift. We had Leo Guiza in 7th place in the 110 division, a 285 squat, a 185 bench, a 310 deadlift. We had Wyatt Hosick getting that All-American 3rd place in the 60 kg division, a 190 squat, a 120 bench, and a 225 deadlift. Again, all of these are in kilograms, so take it times about 2.2, then you'll get the American number.
Yep.
We had Will Peterson was the top athlete of the day on the powerlifting side. For the men, he got second place, 140 kilogram division, 325 squat, 182.5 bench, and a 312.5 deadlift. And yeah, on the women's side, we had Taya Badger getting third place in the 110 kg division, a 197.5 squat, 102.5 bench, 185 deadlift. And then we also had Taylor Headkey. She placed second in the 60 kilogram division with a 175 squat, 92.5 bench, 170 deadlift. And something very interesting about Taylor Headkey, you see her get second place in the powerlifting nationals. Then you move over to the weightlifting. And mind you, powerlifting and weightlifting nationals are happening essentially at the same time from April 9th through April 12th in different places. So
right,
what Taylor Headkey decided to do was go compete in powerlifting nationals and then right after that, go to weightlifting nationals.
Oh my goodness.
And compete in that one as well. Just an incredible performance from her. We had powerlifting nationals in Louisiana, and then we had weightlifting in Utah.
She went from Louisiana to Utah?
She went from Louisiana to Utah, lifted one day apart, got second in powerlifting, and then went and got fourth place in weightlifting.
She was in the top five for both, and those were in different states.
Correct.
Wow.
Not even just like Nebraska to Kansas or like Florida to Georgia.
Yeah.
We're talking Louisiana to Utah.
Look it up on the map and see how far that is. I'm not doing that on that one.
Should we check the mileage?
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay, so we have Louisiana all the way to Salt Lake City, Utah. The time to drive it, 25 hours, 1,646 miles, and that's if you take the toll route.
Okay, I'm pretty sure she drove. I'm pretty sure she flew.
She probably did. But regardless, that's not a short flight either.
That's like maybe like 2 to 3 hours.
Got to deal with airports and all that, all to compete at both in the same week. An incredible performance of strength and stamina from her. Getting that fourth place in weightlifting with a snatch of 76 kilograms and then a clean and jerk of 100.
Wow.
So, yeah, really, really solid performance from her. We also had some other really good performances. We had Caden Mima. We mentioned him last week. National champion in the 60-kilogram division with a snatch of 107 and a clean and jerk of 137. We had Evan Fukuhara getting second place in the 71-kilogram division. He had a snatch of 117 and then a clean and jerk of 143. So, also, can't forget Enzo Mancini, fourth place in the 94-kilogram division.
Hey, you can't forget him.
Can't forget him. A snatch of 133 and then a clean and jerk of 166. We had Michael Davidge get sixth place in the 110 division with a snatch of 129, and then a clean and jerk of 153. We had, as a team, the men placed fifth overall. So great to see that. And then the women placed eighth. So good individually, good as a group. If you mix up the two, so men and women combine them, we got third place overall.
Yep.
And yeah, a great performance.
There's nothing else you can say. Just greatness right there.
A successful day all around from the men and the women. Powerlifting, weightlifting, it's a great job from all of them.
Exactly.
And then we've got one more sport to talk about. And that is a team that has been, or two teams that have been very successful this season. The tennis teams.
Yes.
Both with just one loss in the conference.
Okay. That's even better.
The men are 4-1 with their only loss being a 5-2 loss to top five Morningside.
Okay.
And then the women 5-1 with their only GPAC loss coming at the hands of Morningside as well, 6-1. So, gotten points off of both of them. and then have been undefeated since then. The most recent matchups were wins against Doan. So love to see that, of course. The men went 7-0 against Doan, swept the doubles with Danny Caballeros and Leo Lopez, Hugo Fuentes and Nick Velders, and then Onion Gadget and Ben Chisholm as those competitors. And then in singles, Hugo Fuentes won at the number one spot. Nick Velders finished his regular season undefeated in singles competition.
Wow.
Then we had Danny Caballeros, Leo Lopez, Ben Chisholm, and Santi Abadia in singles. Leo Lopez got GPAC Athlete of the Week.
Yes.
Last week for his wins in this one. And then he also, or sorry, it was his wins against Northwestern and Mount Marty that got him the Athlete of the Week. Then you look at the women's side with a 6-1 win. Got two out of the one doubles games as a win, so that gives you the doubles point. Mm-hmm. It was Alana Lopez-Pagan and Shakira Derman, and then Nina Milic and Alexa Richert getting those wins. And then in singles, we had Shakira Derman, Ashane Derman, Alana Lopez, Alexa Richert, and Nina Milic all getting the W's in singles action.
Yes.
So right now, both of them ranked second in the conference. As we get really close to that GPAC tournament, the GPAC Tennis Championships, the women actually have a game today against College of St. Mary at home, Bulldog Tennis Courts at 3 o'clock, and then the men are just waiting until the 24th for the GPAC Men's Tennis Championships. Both the men and the women are going to be in Omaha at the Genesis Health Club at Westroads for this tournament, and so we're looking forward to that, hoping that the men can make some noise and the women can succeed as well.
Yes.
So unless there's anything I forgot, I think we covered everything. We got track and field, we got baseball, softball, tennis, weightlifting, powerlifting, and so many things to do with all of those. Got an action-packed week coming up as we look forward to those GPAC competitions. We've got, like I said, the GPAC tennis. We've got GPAC golf coming up. We have the Drake Relays next week for track and field. That's always exciting.
It is.
Softball's got their senior day. Baseball's got some double headers. Weightlifting has its last event of the year on Saturday, the Concordia Weightlifting Open. That's where a lot of those seniors are going to get honored. So looking forward to all of that. But for now, that'll be all for this Season 3, Episode 24 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to give us a follow on Spotify. Listen to us there or at cuneSower.com/podcast. But from Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!